syndrome. Hello, welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 36. I'm hosting again. I know you are all very excited about this, but I'm not alone. So, introducing Anthony.
Hello.
Lenny.
Hey there.
And the returning Eric.
Hi, my mic's still broken. That's why I'm on my iPad. I can't record. This sucks.
And
I feel handicapped. Okay, I look it too, but whatever.
And in case you're wondering where Josh is, he's probably dead in a snowstorm in Detroit, so...
That's scary shit, man.
One of the benefits of living in a country where we can't really get proper snow. But if we do get it, the whole country shuts the fuck down, so...
Everyone just goes insane.
It's ridiculous. Anyway... Let's not waste any more time. We are, what, a few weeks behind, like 2 or 3 weeks by the time you hear this, but whatever. Let's quickly talk about Gal Gadot being cast as Wonder Woman in Batman Superman sequel, whatever. So, how does everyone feel about this, Lenny?
Yay! I think it's a good choice. I've only ever seen her in Fast Five.
I think that's what everyone's only seen her in, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I don't know if she's done anything else.
I think this is the main one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't even know her character name in Fast Five. She was just the attractive one on the group.
Chick on the motorbike? Is it the chick on the motorbike? Because I could see that.
The one that isn't, like, the Paul Walker's wife or whatever. The other female in the movie.
The one that's not Michelle Rodriguez or... The other chick whose name currently escapes me.
Isn't it?
Oh, the bird who was in that other film. I've just forgot everything now. Forgot everything.
But I think it's a good choice. I don't, you know what I mean? Hopefully it isn't a giant role. You know, hopefully they save the meat of the character for a different movie and we just get introduced in this one and that will be more than enough for us to get used to her. But who knows? I'm happy with it. I like it.
What about you, Eric?
I am indifferent, to be honest with you. I didn't know who she was. I've seen her picture. She looks a little tiny. I don't know. I feel that Wonder Woman should kind of have a little bit of a butch quality to her if she's going to be a real kick-ass Amazonian. But obviously, we're not going for Amazonian here. We're going for hot chick in short pants. Well, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah, are we all under the... one of the general... I know at least I'm sure Anthony agrees with me that we'd prefer Gina Carano.
That's who I was trying to name like 2 seconds ago. Gina Carano, yes.
100%. I agree because that chick kicks ass to begin with.
Yeah.
She's an MMA fighter. What do you expect? And it's awesome. Yeah. But it's one of those things. They've gone for
probably asking much money.
Yeah, they've gone to... She looks exotic, and that's one of the things that they were looking for as well. If you read that, like, casting call that was going around. Second choice would have been... what's the name from Thor? Jamie Alexander. And I know she's in a Marvel movie, but I doubt... It's like her and Idris Elba. I doubt they're in more than a film-by-film basis, because their characters are hardly essential to the story. Yeah. Granted, I've not seen Thor The Dark World yet. But it's one of those. Could you imagine them being missed or they just recast?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's not so bad with supporting characters. It's when you try. If it was like Downey Jr. getting cast as like Green Lantern, then like shit would kick off. But it's like. Yeah.
That's why you brought up Idris, because people are hoping he'll be Jon Stewart.
Yeah, because we only have like two black actors that are actually in the book. So he either plays Jon Stewart or T'Challa. So really, who else are we going to get?
Shit, that's a good one.
Apparently, Idris Elba is the god of black people. In case
you I want him to, I'm probably on my own in this, but I've been watching The Wire recently, and I think Idris Elba would be a really good kingpin in a Daredevil TV show. Because he's basic. That's who he's basically playing in The Wire anyway, and I think he'd be really good as a kingpin. But obviously, that will never happen. So I'm not holding my breath.
I like the T'Challa idea. I mean, why not? Yeah. Right? He could be Hemdale and T'Challa. Chris Evans was the Human Torch and Captain America.
But yeah, the only difference is that they weren't at the same time, though.
That's true. Fantastic
Four was a long time ago. But hey, you never know. It could even be Luke Cage. Who knows? I doubt it, but it's a possibility.
Well,
with that Netflix deal.
Yeah,
man, he has too much gravitas to be Luke Cage, I think.
Yeah.
He's better than that.
It's very likely Idris Elba will be getting. It's possible that he might be getting an Oscar in next year. So then his salary is probably going to go up. So he might not even be playing Heimdall in 4-3. So he'll probably stick into
an Oscar for what?
He's in the Nelson Mandela biopic.
Yep.
Oh,
I forget what it's. I can't remember the name of it.
It's something about walking or journey. I don't know.
Yeah, but with the passing of Mandela recently, then the Oscars like stuff like that. So it's Oscar bait. So,
but if he wins an Oscar, that makes it more likely that he will be a lead role somewhere along the way if they want him to be.
Yeah.
So it could pave the way for a Green Lantern movie.
I think it's more likely to go to DC because, you know, unless you're Robert Downey Jr., Marvel ain't giving you money.
Yeah. Well, they did the exact same thing with the creators in the 60s and 70s, so it's not that surprising they're doing it with the actors now.
Mm. So Natalie Portman won an Oscar. Why was she in Thor then?
She signed a contract, I think.
Okay.
I was still surprised.
Or she won the Oscar?
Apparently, she didn't want to do it after the female director left, but then Marvel agreed, made some deal with her to keep her in the film. That's why Natalie Portman's in 4-2.
I'm surprised. Interesting. So does this change how anyone thinks about? Are you still? Has it made you any more excited for Batman Superman?
No,
really. I really want to be, but I'm just.
I'm going to make this declaration now. It's on recording. I will not go and see this film in cinemas. I will not pirate it.
That's bold. Are you going to pirate?
I will not pirate. I will not see this film unless it comes out on DVD or on Sky or whatever. I will not go to the cinema to see this film. I do not care about... I've told you, I don't care about Ben Affleck. I don't hate him. I've not seen Daredevil. I don't care. I've watched Argo, it's fine. I don't care.
Like that,
Snyder is why I don't care about this film. Man, yeah. It bored me. I almost fell asleep in the last 20 minutes.
Aww.
I'm going to see this film. I don't
want
to.
That's a bold statement.
I'm telling you, Corden, I'm going to stick by it.
I don't think people have noticed. The guy who made Sucker Punch is the guy who's bringing Wonder Woman to the big screen for the first time in 30 years. Yeah. So be excited, everyone.
Well, he can't take tons of the blame because didn't he write Sucker Punch?
I have no idea. I don't know. I've yet to see Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch was his brainchild.
Yeah.
I enjoy that movie when I'm drunk.
Yeah, no, it's fine for what it is. But I think in this case, like, he's not going to be in charge of the character itself. He's the director
He may as well be. Because David Goyer and Zack Snyder will probably be working very closely on the Man of Steel sequel, probably future DC films. Like, David Goyer is probably going to become like the Josh Whedon for DC, because he's got his name attached to the three Batman films and Man of Steel. He's writing the Man of Steel sequel, and it's probably what's going to happen. Because Christopher Nolan doesn't want to do that job because he wants to make his own good films, like Interstellar, which looks amazing, even. Like, there's no footage in that trailer. It still looks amazing. But anyway, that's going off on a different topic.
But there was one more thing I wanted to say. People were saying this. I'm in that kind of camp where it feels like it's just a little rushed or whatever, just for the sake of having her in the film. It's kind of like how people are complaining about how Quicksilver being in Days of Future Past seems a bit rushed. It's not at the same level, granted, but it feels like it's just there for the sake of it. However, if it means down the line that we get after this we get a Wonder Woman movie, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, haven't Warner Brothers pretty much gone on record for saying they don't think a Wonder Woman movie would work? I'm sure someone from Warner Brothers has said that. Yeah. See, I think it's great how Wonder Woman's going to be in the film. I'd just rather it be a solo film.
I think there's a chance, though, depending on... Obviously,
yeah, she'll get one, eventually.
Depending on how she performs, I think that if it goes Justice League Wonder Woman, she'll be recast.
Yeah, which is why they've cast someone who's not really that familiar with people.
If she's great, then she's great, but I think there is still a chance that they will recast Wonder Woman. But, yeah.
Really? Yeah, it's possible.
Now, onto some more movie news now. Obviously, it was kind of like a split down the middle for the original Amazing Spider-Man, and it seems like, even off this trailer, that it's still about the same. There are people that have, like, little gripes with it, which is perfectly fine. I understand a lot of the problems, but as somebody who loved the Amazing Spider-Man in the first place, I'm really looking forward to this one, and the trailer has just reinforced that. However, I personally think it has the same problem that the first set of trailers had, where it feels like they're showing way too much of this movie.
Yeah, I haven't watched. There's two trailers, isn't there? I haven't watched the second one because every headline said slightly spoilery trailer. So it's like, yeah, I'm not watching that. I've seen one trailer. I think that's enough because I'm going to see the film anyway. So,
dude,
I don't. I'm going to try and avoid trailers. Fan,
as a comic fan, you'd be spoiled regardless of the trailer if you watched it or not. You know what I mean? Like, if you knew what characters were in it, you kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, then again, with what they're doing, like, how many times has Rhino, Electro, and Green Goblin been in a story together in the comics?
Sinister Six.
Yeah,
I know. Well, we know they're doing a Sinister Six film, don't we? Because they announced that as well.
Yeah.
And Venom.
Too much. Too much.
I understand that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, you know, kind of nervous about all this, considering Amazing Spider-Man 3 will be 2016. So, assuming that this Spider-Man 4 is not happening, right? And that it's the Sinister Six movie, or it's the Venom movie, this is still going to be until 2018 anyway.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like,
it's a while off.
Yes, and then it's throwing up when Andrew Garfield earlier in the week said that he's currently not contractually obligated, which again, you can take it either as that, give me the better contract and I'll do it, or what if they killed him off and brought Miles? Never gonna happen.
I'd love that if they did that. That'd be amazing.
Don't worry though, if it does happen, Jaden Smith.
Oh man.
Oh no, man.
Oh, it needs to be Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Even
if he's a little old for it.
Andrew Garfield's like pushing 30 and he's still Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But Donald Glover's 30 now. Miles Morales, it wouldn't happen.
Oh, I didn't know he was that old.
He'd be 35 by the time this movie comes out.
They have that young look, though, that works.
Yeah, that young look, but 35 trying to look 16, which again, they have to age Miles anyway to about 16. But.
How old is he? Isn't he 16 in the books now? Or was it 15? Because they jumped a year ahead, right?
About 15 now. Oh. 14, 15. He looks like a grown-ass man, though, the way Marquez is currently drawing him, but...
I believe it.
Anything else wants to say about Spider-Man's trailer?
I think the action looks amazing, but I think there's too much info for non-fans.
I think
there's going to be way too much.
Yeah. The action looks good, but some of the effects look shit.
Which
is not a good thing to say for a trailer. They look shit. They look like fucking computer game graphics.
The Rhino looks like a Transformer.
I thought the Rhino looked odd. The bit I'm on about is the bit near the end of the trailer where Spider-Man's taking on Electro, and it really does look like a cutscene from a video game.
Well, that doesn't bother me. I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, I think in that case it works because it it's all special effects. You know what I mean? It's electricity, so it's okay if it looks fake. The one scene where the Green Goblin has like bleach blonde hair, they should have cleaned that up before they threw that in the trailer.
Give him a purple hat like already. Fuck.
Oh God, no! I'm gonna keep saying this till the cows come home. If you try and make the 616 look in the film, it's gonna look stupid. If you're gonna make the 616 costume, it's gonna look stupid. The one in the original Raimi film looked bad. Don't get me wrong, but what seeing him with a mask and a purple or whatever color it is costume, it'll look way too goofy to be taken seriously. But then again, it is a film about a guy who got bit by a spider and has the powers, so you know.
The kid who's playing Norman Osborn is gonna steal the show.
What, the Chronicle kid? You think so?
Possibly.
Just from that trailer, man, that kid is a scene stealer, man.
Yeah, he loves chewing up scenery.
Yeah, that kid is gonna. That's all people are gonna talk about is how villainous that kid is in that movie.
With his comb over.
Yeah, still no cornrows, but he's got a blonde, you know, part or whatever it is.
Cornrows.
It looks cool. It'll be fun. They're doing the same thing the other movies are doing. They're cramming a lot of characters in just to kind of make people happy, which in turn usually makes a movie suffer. But if it's fun, then hello.
I know. Is anybody
you're still
there?
You just you cut off for a minute, but you're there.
He stopped talking.
it's cut out. His audio cut out. That's what happened. It happened online.
Weird.
But then it caught itself up, I think. All
right. Yeah. Either way, I think it'll be a fun movie.
I think it is still personally my most anticipated one for 2014, and that is saying that Captain America. But still, I love Spider-Man, so it's only natural. And
I got another piece of movie news. Yeah. You guys heard that Iron Patriot is going to be in the next Avengers?
Oh, I read that. Yeah. Well, it's going to be Rhodey, James. It should be War Machine, though.
Agreed.
Who wants the Iron Patriot, honestly? If it's not Norman Osborn, just don't fucking do it.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that Don Cheadle and War Machine is going to be the most high-profile black character in a movie. I'm really glad about that. Can you not tell by the tone of my voice? Yay.
Hey, there's two black people in it now. There's Nick Fury and Nick Don.
He doesn't count. He's not a superhero. He doesn't count.
Well, how are you sure? He's the one-eyed wonder.
He is Samuel L. Jackson, though. He's pretty just awesome on his own. So.
Who needs superpowers when your name's Samuel motherfucking Jackson?
With motherfucking snakes.
On motherfucking...
Chitauri. On my motherfucking helicarrier.
And last bit of movie news as well. Brian Singer decided... Okay, I can hear myself.
Echo.
Ryan Singer announcing that the Days of Future, the sequel to Days of Future Past, will be X-Men Apocalypse, which as a 90s baby or whatever you want to call me, I always thought Apocalypse was super awesome. Not knowing a lot about him, I thought the whole concept of some ancient, the first mutant or whatever they want to bill him as. And, and he hates humanity, and he also killed mutants as well. So it's more extreme than Magneto, who wants mutant supremacy. Apocalypse is now is like, fuck you, I am the dominant one. So that.
You know what would be awesome is if they did Age of Apocalypse.
Yes.
Where we get alternate versions of X-Men. That would be cool.
See, they've got plenty of characters. They could probably do that as well with the state of the continuity and the amount of characters they're putting in Days of Future Past.
I just want to see Anna Paquin make out with Ian McClellan.
That would be weird on so many levels, given that he's gay and really old.
Well, it would be... They'd use fans.
Is he? I didn't know that. Weird.
Ian McKellen's gay, yeah.
I did not know that.
He's like...
Doesn't matter. He's still pretty cool.
He's, yeah, I know, but he's been in, like... He's, like... been in protest for gay rights and all that stuff. He's like, I'm going to stop talking about this now before I say something over it. Anyway, sorry, why am I still talking? Somebody else talk.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, well, you were saying that'd be kind of gross watching those two make out, because when that book was coming out, I was buying it by the issue, and when I seen that Rogue and Magneto hooked up, I was a little grossed out myself. I'm like, that guy's old enough to be your grandpa, girl. What are you doing? Anyways, that's all we got.
Did you guys read the rumor about the third movie, and like how Apocalypse shows up in it?
Future Past.
No, in the third, like at the end of Days of Future Past, there's going to be a teaser that ties into the next movie.
Yeah.
And in that teaser, at least the rumor, spoilers, I guess, because if it's true, I don't, you know, I mean, it's kind of terrible that it came out so early, but I guess what happens is like an energy or an entity hits Earth, and then Magneto goes to find it. And it basically transforms Magneto into Apocalypse.
Oh, right, I heard that.
Yeah, which to me, it would seem weird, because then it would just be, you know, you'd be looking at Michael Fassbender the whole movie, not really Apocalypse.
It's not so, like I don't Onslaught, know. Basically. That sounds a lot like Onslaught.
Right, yeah. Yes, I don't know. Like, that was a rumor that came out like the day after they announced it.
That would be weird. I hope they don't do that. There's probably going to be some kind of like tease of Apocalypse at the end of Days of Future Past, but I just hope it's not that, because that sounds pretty terrible.
Yeah, me too.
maybe some other character, or maybe just some random Joe finds it and they turn into Apocalypse, but not Magneto though. If that happens to Magneto, that'd just be weird.
You know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Just because I've not read The Age of Apocalypse, I probably will eventually in the lead up to the film. But speaking of this whole Apocalypse thing, most recently I was watching Wolverine and the X-Men cartoon. And it's probably going to be one of those things, if you've not watched it, spoiler, whatever, the program ended years ago, get over it. At the end, it's a whole time travel thing, so Days of Future Past will probably detect a similar thing. Is yes, they fixed that timeline or whatever, but at the end of Wolverine X-Men, whatever they fixed still ended up causing Apocalypse to take over the world or whatever. So that'd be cool. Could be another dystopian future film, which I'm kind of, depending on how Days of Future Past turns out and how much it is in that future or whatever. Could be kind of how excited they
are
for that. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's supposed to be a lot of time travel in Days of Future Past, so it would be cool if the third movie was based on whatever they did to the other timelines. That'd be cool.
If it doesn't follow Doctor Who time rules, I disparage it as an actual rules of time.
I don't know what a Doctor Who is.
It's wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Basically means it can contradict itself whenever it feels like.
Yes.
What's the name of the X-Men's jet?
The Blackbird.
The Blackbird, is it bigger on the inside than it is on the outside? Well, then I don't know about if this is going to work or not.
And I think that about wraps up the little bit of news that we wanted to talk about here. All obviously movie news, it's all these great movies coming out over the next few years. But
Did you guys see the Godzilla trailer?
Oh, that was good.
There we go.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
Well, I hope that there's a scene in the film where they're following Godzilla and then they lose him, because that was like the best part of the 90s Godzilla film. You know, that instant classic.
That's why I'm not holding my breath for this new one, because I was pretty excited for the Matthew Broderick fuck up.
Yeah. It could be terrible, but it's by the same director who did Monsters, which is a great movie. So,
and there's so we're not gonna see anything till the end of the movie.
Possibly, and it's also like, and it's a Godzilla movie in a time when we've had films like Cloverfield, and where they've done like this implied horror with monster movies, and with the Pacific Rim as well. So it's got a lot to live up to. So it should be interesting.
I'm looking forward. I'm making this guarantee. I'll be surprised if they don't. But at some point, they'll either have a group of Japanese people in there, either freaking out overly, or just being like, meh, we're used to it. Because, you know, it's one of those...
It's a running gag, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think the film's going for that tone, though, but you never know.
It doesn't seem like
moment,
it, yeah.
It'll just be that one moment, and then it'll be over, and it'll be back to being fully, completely serious.
That would be like putting Adam West in The Dark Knight Rises. It just wouldn't fit at all. That would be
awesome. Yeah, I just hope this movie isn't like Cloverfield. I hope we see Godzilla a lot in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't, you know what I mean? I don't want constant smoky backgrounds where all you see is the spiked, you know, the spikes on his back. I want to, like, see Godzilla. So hopefully, like, we get a lot of that.
Yeah, hopefully they're just holding it back for the trailers, which is...
Yeah.
Which I'm quite happy with. And they're waiting until the movie... before we see, like, a lot of Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's fine for the trailer. When the movie comes out, I better see Godzilla.
Straight.
So anyway, should we talk about some comics? Because we've been going for 25 minutes and we haven't done one review yet.
No, because I was told that we wanted to do stuff before we get to that. Just go over people's best book of the year.
Do you think we should do that now, or should we wait until the new year?
Should we not do that when Josh is here as well?
Yeah, I suppose. Screw that. There you go, Josh. Be grateful. We're doing something.
Everyone knows what mine is, though. You just go back and listen to old episodes. It's the one I have a big fucking orgasm over.
Every single time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not doing our best books.
No. See?
Lenny's like, I put so much work into this.
I did homework. Like, I've been looking for books, man, and you guys are just gonna switch it all up.
A full sack of homework just gone to waste. It's not good now.
We're still gonna do it. We'll still do it.
Kyle's just there laughing.
I'm laughing.
That's okay. That's alright. I read comics. We can talk.
Since Eric was missing for the last episode, why don't you start off with some whatever you've been reading over the past couple weeks?
I was doing this before we started. Superior. Oh, fuck, every time with Superior. We talk about Spider-Man too goddamn much. Let's try something else. What else did I read?
I'll talk about Superior, go on.
Well, not Superior Spider-Man, but Superior Spider-Man Team Up.
Oh, I don't read that one.
Issue 7, which I kind of enjoy this series more than I do Superior Spider-Man. This is kind of his Sinister Six. He gathered them all together and he mind-controlled them to make them the superior Sinister Six, apparently. And they break mind control last issue, and then this issue it's them pretty much kicking the shit out of Spider-Man, and it's pretty good, man. I think, if anything, Spider-Man has cemented these as his most dangerous foes now, because he really pissed them off. Like, really pissed them off. Because, you know, you think about it, he knows them better than anybody, because he is Doc Ock, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing was just, I couldn't read it fast enough. It was really good. Art's good. Couldn't tell you the name of the artist, because I'm trying to find it on my phone.
Isn't it Chichetto?
Yeah, I think it is. Is it the Sinister Six story? Because it's Mike Chichetto.
Yeah, and Paco Diaz.
Really nice, really nice covers by Paolo Riviera as well.
Yeah, I don't know what else to add to this, man, without completely spoiling it. It was good. They all got away. Superior Spock is fucked, I think. I'm not sure how this is going to work into the main storyline, or if it is.
Probably won't.
You think so? I hope
you're
so.
Expecting it to?
I was going to say, is it supposed to be standalone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that... Unless it's explicit, unless it's pretty much under the same rule. If Slot does not come out and say that it's canon, then it's probably not, because he's been doing that with like the annual. But even then, it's the Goblin Nation is what's actually happening now, the main thing. So
that's true.
No, it's still canon. It just doesn't necessarily mean Slot's going to touch on it in his book, and his book is the main title.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I'm thinking is this book's called Superior Spider-Man Team Up, and the girl he teams up with is really, I don't know. I don't know her. Like, she's new to me.
She's been on the New Warriors, so.
Is she? Yeah. This I didn't know. Apparently, she's the daughter of some light dude. Light Ray? Light Master. There we go. Who, you know, I've been reading comic books for a while. I don't remember this guy from anything else. But, whatever. You know.
So, what did you give that?
I can't be afraid. articulate about it. I would give this a 6 out of 7.
6?
Yeah, because I feel that this is the kind of storyline that should have been in the main title.
Yeah.
But
yeah, with the 7 to 6. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, it's really good.
I said it in episodes long back when I was reading Superior Team Up, that pretty much since the whole Superior started, that Chris Yost writes Doc Ock himself a lot better than Slott has been. It makes it more interesting because he does more like internal things, whereas Slott's juggling about a bunch of things at once.
Because it kind of feels like in the main title he's a little wishy-washy all the time, right? Like he's trying to fight the Peter Parker parts of himself or something. Whereas in this, I'm Doc Ock in Spider-Man's body. Get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah, it's pretty much a more Spider-Man book than it is Peter Parker. He's trying to be Peter Parker in Superior, and he's just being Spider-Man in this one.
Yes.
So yeah, it was 6. So move on to Anthony. What have you got to say?
Okay, I found it kind of hard to pick some stuff to talk about, so I'm going to talk about a DC comic. Oh, Lord. And it's also not a Batman.
You will.
Oh.
It's Superman Wonder Woman issue 3.
Charles Soule.
By Charles Soule and Tony S. Daniel. Tony S. Daniel's artwork's really nice in this book, I think. I think he's well suited to doing the Superman Wonder Woman story. So what gets me about this title though is that it's supposed to be a Superman Wonder Woman book, yet like everyone else is just appearing in it as well. Like Batman is in this issue. And there's Batman giving relationship advice to Superman, which I think is kind of hilarious. How he's going to Batman for that kind of stuff. And there's also the Justice League of America with Martian Manhunter, that Steve Trevor dude who has history with Wonder Woman, so that's kind of awkward, and that Vibe guy, and Hawkman with his big malice thingy. But it's a pretty good book. It also has, I think this is the first time Superman meets Zod. It seems like it is in the New 52, because Superman doesn't know who he is, and he's like, oh, just discovered another Kryptonian. It's like, yes, but he's Zod, and obviously people who are familiar with Superman know who Zod is, so we know that we're pretty much where this is going. But I'm curious to see if DC do like the whole Superman versus Zod thing in this title, or if it's going to cross over into either Action Comics or the Superman book. Because I would have thought it'd be an either Action or Superman where DC do their first big storyline with Zod, because I thought they would have wanted to make it into like a kind of a thing, since it's Zod. It's the guy who's just in that movie that came out last summer. And also, the villain's month issue they did was in Action Comics, I think, which was written by Greg Pak, which is also very good. I read that the other day. I really enjoyed that. But yeah, Superman Wonder Woman, it's very pretty, it's quite well written. There is some relationship stuff, like I said, between Superman and Wonder Woman, which is one of the things that I wanted from this book, because when they got together in Justice League, when Death Dawn's put them together, it just came out of nowhere. Maybe I'm just on my own thinking that, but I might have said that on a previous episode actually, where it just... In issue 11, they're like, yeah, we're a team. And then issue 12, oh, they're on the cover kissing. Where the fuck did that come from? Like, there's just no tension or anything between them at all. But I think I'm going to rate this book a 5 out of 7.
No. I picked up what I thought was issue 3. Turned out to be issue 2. But I haven't read it.
Issue 2's got Doomsday in it, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
I own that issue twice now.
Oh, that's unlucky, that. That's really unlucky.
Because I didn't go to the shop for 2 weeks because I didn't have the money, so once they put it in my box, when they took it out and gave it to me, I said, okay, there's Superman, Wonder Woman, fine. Did not pay any attention, get home, oh great, I've already got this one.
Yeah, and Kyle, in your defense, I think the covers do look very similar, I think. I've not got my issue 2 in front of me, but I think it looks very similar to issue 3, so...
Yeah, great.
But anyway, since I've just got done talking for quite a while, I'm going to use the opportunity to bail out on the podcast, because I need to leave. So, sorry. It's really unprofessional. I hope you guys...
You're so professional here.
Enjoy... What?
I said, we're so professional here. I'll take it out of your wages.
At least I'm not talking on the phone again. That's you know.
Yeah, I think we are seeing improvements, I suppose.
Yeah.
That was common. Anyway,
I will talk to you guys on the next episode.
Right on, man. All right, man.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Sounds so sad when he leaves.
I know that he's gone, I suppose we could just talk mad shit about him like I normally do about Josh. But nah, let's just continue to talk about all these comics. So Lenny.
Alright. Let's talk about Dead Body Road.
Yes.
From Image. How cool is this book, huh?
It's so cool I forgot to buy it. I'm gonna buy it right now.
Oh, fail.
Come on, man.
No, Dead Body. Justin Jordan and Mateos Galera.
Yeah.
Isn't he working with the
Remender
right now?
Yep.
So he's got two monthlies out, which is even better than this.
Ooh, and it's only three bones. I don't know what that is, pounds or euros or whatever.
In real money.
Chinese money that is.
I paid that like two tens of stupid like that, I can't remember. Either way. Go on, talk about how awesome it is.
Okay. This book is really cool. It's like a dirty, gritty action movie. Yep. You know, this guy is it opens with sort of like a bank robbery, and you see one of the victims and learn that it's this guy's wife, and so he is setting out to find out, you know, who basically killed her. I don't think the main character actually cares like about the robbery or anything. He just wants revenge on how she got killed during the robbery. And in you know that main plot, we get the sense that these guys, the bad guys, are actually they weren't just doing it for money. There's like double crossing and things like that. They hired a team, and the one guy takes off because he knows for sure they're gonna end up killing him just because he was there. So yeah, the story is really cool. All these characters are unique and have different, you know, styles to them, different facial expressions, and the one guy's got tattoos along his neck, and the other guy looks kind of like a Joker. Like one of the main guys got like this purple green motif going on. And every page just like feels dirty. Like there's ink speckled and colors speckled, like all like in every page, every panel, and it's really cool. It's sort of like it's got this like, you know, dusty filter over it if you're watching a movie or something. It's just a really cool book.
It's even in the font from what I'm seeing here in the letters. It's got a grit to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, no, like that's like yeah, for draw, huh? Yeah, I like the sharp angles he puts in, you know, into his characters and the backgrounds and stuff. It's not, you know, he's one of those artists where everything looks very crisp, I guess. You know how, like, Stegman... Oh, did I cut out?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, his art has this, you know, these sharp angles and very, you know, solid look to him. It's not like where Stegman is very circular and has tons of motion. You know, this is very sharp and just distinct and... It's beautiful. What do you guys think of it?
I read it pretty much. I heard Mateo Scalera was on, so that was enough for me to at least check out the first issue. And again, just say that about but Justin Jordan, I enjoyed his I've Got Strange Talent of Luther Strode, and I enjoyed that one. So it's enough for me to at least give it a shot, and I enjoyed it a lot. Mateo Scalera's art on this is a little different than what I've seen before in Secret Avengers, in Black Science, and even Indestructible Hulk, where those ones, especially, it could be just mainly the color palette as well, where it's a lot of blacks and grays, and especially in Black Science, like purples, it's a lot of darker colors. This one, there's a lot of brighter colors, there's blue in it and all this, and who's the colorist?
Moreno.
He's got a paper copy.
So I think that colorist helps as well to bring it a bit more life into the book itself as well. And if you notice, as much as I love Scalera, when you see his map, when he does people shouting, they all have the same expression, and they all look like they're stretching their mouths way more than physically possible.
Yeah, but it is a bit exaggerated, you're right, yeah.
And it only happens once in this book, and it's a lot more subtle, well, twice, but it's a lot more subtle, open mouth, and I think this the actual faces are a lot better than other works that I've seen him do, and it fits this as well, again, mainly due to the colour palette.
Mm-hmm.
The story itself, it's one of those typical revenge film. Think of it as a revenge film.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those you're going to get what you expect to get.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure there's going to be twists and turns along the way, because mm-hmm. there's so many, like, bad guys, and it's the main guy, and he's got, like, a cop friend, so it should be fun and entertaining. Like, this was a really good first issue.
Yeah. On a quick flip through, I just bought it. You guys are correct on the art, for sure. It's amazing. I mean, there's nuances a guy could pass on, but the coloring does affect his style, I think. Like, how it, because when you say, like, I know he drew Indestructible Hulk, and then you look at Black Science, and they're very, very different from each other. And then you look at this one, and it's, again, on another level, different again. So, it looks really cool. I can't really add much more to the art comment. From the looks of it, though, it's got that 70s grindhouse vibe for movies.
Yeah.
Like you see at the drive-in. And, of course, it's from Strode writer Justin Jordan. I wouldn't expect anything less than a twist every other issue. I'm in. I like it. I haven't even read it. I just flipped through it. Looks cool.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's worth, like I said, it's a number one issue. It's worth picking up, and then if it's not your thing, then, you know, you don't have to keep following, but it's cool. It's worth your first purchase to get started.
Image Comics, baby. Image Comics.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Are all over the border.
Over the past, couple months, I've read this, Velvet, Pretty Deadly. What was the other one? There's another one.
Black Science.
Black Science. Great books. Great starts to the series.
Drumheller.
I've not actually read that one. I heard that the second issue, whatever issue, was pretty terrible.
Really?
That's what I've heard. I've not read it myself.
But it's just I weird. Yet.
You haven't read number two? What's wrong with you?
Anyways.
Yeah, a lot going on. It's holidays.
So, what would you give? Oh, wait, you gave it a 7, didn't you?
Yep, I'll give it a 7. I enjoyed it. It's fun.
I'll give it a 6, personally.
Okay.
There's a lot more to come, obviously, so...
Yeah.
I'm not going to rate it. I didn't read it. My bad.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, so now on to myself. I want this... you know what? You put everyone on top of sick. Kyle's going to probably talk about this one book over and over and over again. But you know what? You can kiss my ass, because I'll talk about Ultimate Spider-Man until Kyle's come home.
That's cool.
So... Again, if everybody knows, I assume Cataclysm, it's the whole threat of whether the Ultimate Universe shall survive, and which would mean one of my favourite characters would also die unless he comes over to the 616. So I've only been reading the Ultimate Spider-Man one. I've not read Ultimates or X-Men. I read the first issue of Last Stand, but this is the one that I'm already more emotionally invested in anyway, so I'm just going to keep sticking with this one. Which, unlike the last event that Ultimate Universe tried to go through, Divided We Fall, where it mattered in no way whatsoever to Miles, this one clearly does. But anyway, it starts off, the issue itself starts off with, it's 2 years ago since Eric's favourite event, Ultimatum.
Yeah,
that's how it starts, and it's and this one, it's taking off all the new characters that we've had over the past few issues of this series. So it's Bombshell, Cloak and Dagger, Spider-Woman, obviously Miles, taking little glimpses at how they're handling Galactus just coming and wreaking hell. But it starts again with Cloak and Dagger remembering what happened during Ultimatum and how much hell it brought to everybody, basically.
Sweet.
And for people that know into about the series itself, really, that Miles is keeping the secret that he's Spider-Man from his dad, especially because he hates mutants and anyone with superpowers. And just before his mother died, get over it, spoilers, she told Miles explicitly not to tell his dad because no good could possibly come from it. And this issue,
he tells him.
Yeah, he tells him, and his dad's not happy. You can tell straight away this is not going to end well. Well, it's the Miles portion of the issue itself, when he's going to save some kids, he got and takes him to his dad. It's that moment. It's these two moments which make it more what will happen once he finds out, because it's the end of the world now. As far as they are concerned, it's the end of the world. Are you going to keep this beef with your son? That now that you know he's not a mutant, but has but powers.
Different, yeah.
He's now been secretly being Spider-Man. Is he going to tell him that his mum knew? It's all these little things, which I am looking forward to so much. And Dave Marquez, man. People love Sarah Pichelli on Spider-Man. Marquez is amazing. Especially him and them, Justin Ponzo colours. This is probably the most beautiful book I read. I like books with colour.
Nice.
I prefer these ones instead of the. Again, I love things like Black Science and the darker ones, but I prefer books like this which are bright. And it's just more enjoyable. It's what I like visually in comics. It's not too realistic, really. But yeah, this book, I give it a 6 out of 7. And if you've been reading the solicits, we're now up to March. And solicits are a necessary evil because they will kill any. Will the Ultimate Universe survive or not?
Mm-hmm.
But solicits for March, spoiler, whatever, there are none.
I thought there was just a one shot.
But there is only. Yeah, I've got to get there. But then it. Missing out of the solicits, Newsarama posted about it, how there is a survive one, and it's written, we now know it is written by Bendis, that was missed off. But Bendis, as far as I think most people are concerned, Bendis is the Ultimate Universe. He's the one that's been on the longest. He's been since day one, basically, really, hasn't
he? Yeah.
He's the only one that stayed there, so he's going, whatever's going to happen with this, whether it's another limited series or whatever, I don't know, but no
complete. Fan theory. Is the Ultimate Universe will be destroyed, and the only two survivors will be Miles and evil Reed Richards.
Isn't, what's it called? Last Stand, aren't they those two in the 616 now or something?
I'm sure
in one of the other books those two have come to the 616 seeking help. So, because clearly it's possible Peter Parker managed to get to the 6 month to the Ultimate.
It's true.
Mysterio was in the Ultimate. Galactus has managed to go over to the Ultimate. So,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, I read something on Bleeding Cool that said that instead of everyone dying, a character two might end up in the 616.
And
I would have to reread it to be more specific, but it made it sound like it would kind of disappear, but some of them would carry over into normal continuity.
I think the general consensus is that it not only will it be Miles, but it should be Miles, should be the only one. Because pretty much everyone already has an Ultimate as a 616 counterpart, apart from Miles might have one, because Peter Parker googled him at the end of Spider-Man, but...
This is true.
Yeah.
He's the only one that doesn't exist within the normal realm, so...
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I haven't read anything Ultimate since Spider-Man, so I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've spoken a lot about that again, so... Eric, you got anything else?
Oh, shit. Got me off guard. Prophet. Another Image title.
Okay.
Issue 41. It's... If you're a 90s fanboy and you read a lot of Rob Liefeld comics, you would enjoy this. Because it takes a lot from Youngblood as well. Die Hard's still alive. He's been alive this whole time. Like, we're in a very, very vastly far different future. The only thing that seems to be left of the Earth populace are clones of John Prophet. And they have all kinds of clones. There's the sex slave clones, there's the worker clones, the soldier clones, yada yada yada. But there's one clone, John Prophet. I don't think he's the main guy, but he's been alive a lot longer. They were on the verge of taking over the universe. This is what I'm getting out of it anyways. I think that the John Prophet army was on the verge of taking over the universe, and this one John Prophet turned on him and shut him down and put everything to sleep, mothership and all. And then everybody started waking up, and he went to sleep too, and then he woke up. Now he's pissed, right? He's like, what the hell is going on? I'm not sure what they're chasing after. They're looking for Badrock, and they found him, and he's like the size of a planet now, and he's had a bunch of kids. Like I said, if you know anything about the early 90s stuff, Badrock was a pretty cool character, I thought. He was a giant kid made of stone. Anyways. And so, yeah, like, just to see that evolution of a lot of those kinds of characters is pretty cool, man, I thought. It's very high concept, so I don't know if you could handle it, Lenny. it's really out there, man. Like, you got to read it, and it seriously feels like something you'd read in a heavy metal comic. But serialized, not this anthology shit. What else can I add to this?
Is it like a superhero comic?
No. It's science fiction all the way hardcore. Science fiction. They come across planets that are alive, asteroids that are alive. Everything seems to run on some kind of a bioorganic. Like the first prophet that you see, first John Prophet that's born in the first issue, he gets this thing called a doll mantle, and it protects him, right? He loses his arm trying to escape some alien thing. And the doll mantle scavenges another arm from a dead person, I guess, or whatever, and kind of the doll mantle works as a connecting agent, so he's still got his arm, but it's made of bone and doll mantle.
Huh.
So yeah, just weird stuff like that. Like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's very high concept.
You wrote it?
I'm getting to it. It's Brent Royal Boiler. I know his Twitter handle. Fuck. I'm gonna stop reading comics on my phone. Too long to get the credits, man. I think it's Brandon Graham.
Okay.
I'm flipping here. Oh, this sucks.
So do you think? So would you recommend it like as the nearest jumping point, or is it this one new reader accessible? Was it in the middle of the story or whatever?
That's the thing. I don't think. Hold on. Weiss being a dumbass.
Oh, man.
I can't find the fucking credits, man. I wouldn't say that this is a jump on friendly at all. I have to reread the whole series from the beginning sometimes. It's a little hard to grasp sometimes. Fuck.
So is it one of those image books without a recap page?
But I mean, if you know something about story by Brandon Graham, I think the art is by Simon Roy, but I'm looking at a different issue.
Okay. Well,
I would give this book a 5 out of 7.
Five. Okay.
Yeah, because I enjoy it, and the only way that a guy could really jump into it with both feet in the water type of style is if you read the Prophet comics and Youngblood, pretty much the Liefeld universe from the 90s. Because it's got that stuff, you know, like, that's what keeps me reading it. I'm like, what are they going to do next?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds interesting. Now, it's Lenny, your turn, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, I've got another Image book, but it's a newer one, which it seems to be overlooked because Image is doing so much. It's Manifest Destiny number 2.
All right.
So basically, the idea here is that Lewis and Clark are set off into the New World to sort of just map and document, you know, what they find, any landmarks, animal types, and stuff like that. And as they're going, they come across creatures. So in the first issue sets it up, and you see a Minotaur, and you know what I mean, it's this big giant monster, and they're freaking out. And so this issue,
what's a Minotaur?
It's a half man, half horse.
Also, it's not even like real.
Oh, right.
Isn't it half man, half bull?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's got like a horse or
that's
bull.
Horse is centaur.
In the book they call it a minotaur just because they can't clearly decide if it's a centaur or a minotaur, so...
Well, that's why nobody reads this book. They're like, oh, well, you can't even tell if it's a centaur. You don't even fucking know? Why would I read this shit?
No, yeah, I think... But it's funny because they kind of make that same crack in this issue because it's got the head of, like, a bull or a buffalo, and then it's got arms, but it's got the legs of a horse. So the scientist is... Okay. What was that?
So it's an even bigger abomination, then.
Right, yeah. So, like I said, even they're kind of unsure how to classify it, but they just label it a minotaur just to call it something.
Okay.
He's a cryptozoic man.
And then, like I said, as they go, the things just keep getting weirder and weirder. So it's just really cool mixture of history along with super like fantasy and sci-fi stuff, and the way it's treated, it's sort of like America becomes sort of like the island on Lost, where we know what it is just because of it's been around forever, but these guys are exploring it and they're coming across these things they've never seen or heard of before, and it just it creeps them out and they're just trying to move along and get to where they gotta go. And then toward the edge you even get a little bit of a hint of a Walking Dead with just like some very similar things like you would see in that book or the TV show, like a barn with boarded doors on it, like you don't take the boards off even if you want to know what's inside type of thing. But it's very cool. It's very sci-fi. The art's good. It's consistent. Like some of the faces are a little wonky or whatever, but they're all drawn like that. So it's not like he just, it's not like, he just struggled in some places. It's like clearly his style. And it's written by, Chris Dinges, and the art is by Matthew Roberts.
Okay.
But it's like I said, it's kind of overshadowed by all the high profile type books. But this is one worth picking up and reading if you want to try something new and different. It's only on issue 2. You can grab issue 1 and see if it's your speed, and then pick up the next issue. The second issue is where things really jump off and get really weird. The first issue is more of a starting point. Here's what we're doing here. But it's fun. It's cool. And I would give that a 6 out of 7.
Okay.
I can see why you'd say that it's overlooked, because really, when you say high profile at Image, it's big creator names mostly.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right? So.
We've got Fraction, like Fraction.
Fraction, Brubaker, Jordan, yeah. Well, right. Kirkman. It goes on.
Yeah, and like I said, this is only the second issue. This book came out in the middle of, Pretty Deadly, Black Science, like. Everybody's talking about those books, but this book is definitely worth reading, and it's worthy of being grouped in with all those books.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, if you come across it, give it a try.
Okay.
I might do that.
Yeah, let me know what you think.
I will. That's why I like hanging out with you guys. You get some good recommendations. Unless it's from Josh, because everything he picks has got green in it. Ninja Turtles, Green Arrow, Green Lantern.
You know what? Now that you mention that, now I notice it. Okay. That's a recurring theme. Anyway, let's see, which one else have I got? As much as Anthony seems to hate this series, I don't know why, but Justice League number 25. It's a Forever Evil title.
I hear it's like an essential tie-in too.
Yes, it pretty much is. I'm kind of treating Forever Evil to the way I was treating Infinity. It's not explicitly said to do this or whatever, but with Infinity, if it wasn't Avengers or New Avengers, or obviously the main Infinity book, I wasn't going to take it as crucial for me to read, and that's why I didn't read any tie-ins for that event.
If it wasn't on the chart, there was no point in reading it.
Exactly, pretty much. If it wasn't the main chart, that's what I'm... And they were all... He knew where he was going with over those three titles. So with Forever Evil, Johns is the one writing... Jeff Johns is writing Forever Evil's main one, so I'll be reading the other book that Jeff Johns is writing. I dropped off on Justice League of America, just didn't really care anymore. But so far this series, so far the Justice League side of it has been dealing with the actual crime syndicate, and this time we get an origin for Owlman. So it's, again, it's one of those things where it's not too similar, not too dissimilar to the original origin, but it's slightly different. So in this one, basically, that Martha. I'm thinking of the Kents. What the hell are Bruce, Thomas, and Mary? No, I don't care.
Batman's parents?
Yeah, what are they called?
Martha.
Yeah, it's Thomas and Martha.
Martha, yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
You know, Martha's Superman's mom, isn't she? Anyway.
Oh, wait, what are we talking about? Thomas. What? Yeah, I'm going to Google it.
Anyway, while you Google that, basically the Wayne parents, and you've got Thomas Wayne Jr., I know that one for sure, is Owlman. Eventually, he is Owlman. On the night where, on their version of the night the parents die, Thomas Jr. is the one holding the gun at them. So they're not being robbed. He is holding the gun out. He wants to kill them. And originally, Bruce is on his side. But when Bruce backs out of this plan, all three of them end up being killed by Alfred, who, as we've seen over the Justice League, Trinity War, is completely loyal to Bruce. While the normal, regular universe is loyal to Batman and Bruce Wayne, this one is unquestionable. We'll do whatever he says. Bruce, Alfred will cop an attitude, but this one, Earth 3 or whatever, agrees with everything that he's going for. So obviously after they've killed him, he goes into the more further in the future, where Owlman has decided he's going to take over different parts of Chicago and all these areas, so that the crime syndicate has more of an influence in this universe. So, again, then it goes up to the more similarities that he has. Because in the everyone knows now that Dick Grayson is Nightwing. So, however that affects Nightwing down the line once it catches up with Forever Evil, we don't know. But he still refuses to let anybody touch him. And it's revealed in this issue why. But it also shows the parallels between their universe and our universes, Batman and Dick and Owlman and Dick. But it's one of those things where it's a lot similar, but it's different. So
I kind of want you to tell me.
it's not anything like super crazy, but how Ultraman wants to destroy everything completely, Owlman doesn't, but he still wants to control everyone. So he's kept Dick around so he can get his help, but this is all gonna come to a head eventually. Again, for as long as this remains interesting, then I will continue to read Forever Evil, and I give that issue a 5 out of 7. Again, it has some art problems at times, because there are a couple panels where it just looks like, obviously, original poses, but some of it just looks like ripped out of the Court of Owls stuff, or sorry, not Court of Owls, it looks like ripped out of Batman and Robin, some of the panels of Owlman, because I wouldn't say it's exactly like Gleason's art, but at times it, especially where he's got the cape out, it kind of looks like it. But again, it's one of those things where we've seen him in that pose so many times, it's hard to really complain about. But yeah,
it is Martha.
Is it Martha?
Yeah.
Well done. You couldn't think of new names for the characters' parents. You have to go for your two big kids, two big DC boys, and you both got the mother the same name.
Yeah, that's weird.
We're over an hour now, so is there anything else anyone wants to talk about before we wrap up?
I'm out. I got nothing left.
I'm good.
Okay. So, just before we completely wrap up, so everybody knows you should be going to nerdsontherocks.com. You can go and follow me on Twitter at justkylemack. You can follow Eric on Twitter. He's at Evil Pilgrim. Anthony is probably dead, but he's at Spidey Ellis. Josh, we have lost due to snowstorm. So you can follow him at JoshRaj9. Lenny has a distinct writes reviews for Nerds on the Rocks. But he also writes it for Nerds Unchained. Really yep. Great creative name difference, but whatever. He's at the Prophet Len. Well, you cannot. Don't forget, you can find the podcast on iTunes, but it's also every 2 weeks, if we can be bothered to keep to that schedule. But you get a 3 hour of us talking about comics, so just be grateful you're getting it. Make sure you search for either Nerds on the Rocks, and you can get the other podcasts, or you can just search for the Comic Anvil, and just for me.
Yep.
And
you should see the smile on my face right now.
And last but not least, Josh and myself will be doing a podcast probably next week. You don't know when you might hear it. I don't know. Whenever it gets done. But for the following the mid-season finale of Arrow. So, if you're an Arrow fan like us, you'll want to check that out and hear what we actually think about each episode, how the characters have developed, the storylines. And it'll be a good time. And that'll be that'll be your Christmas present from us to you. So yeah, make sure you tell all your friends about the class. Growth helps, everyone appreciates it. So yeah, till next time. Goodbye.
Bye, happy holidays.
Peace out.
There we go. Misanthrope.
Rope.